Great. Wonderful. We have a full group today and we really need each other, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yes. So, oh, good. We need some humor. Okay. So, we're going to go into a deep attunement today. And we are going to, the attunement is going to be helping us access, accept, venerate, honor the silent, the silence within us that speaks to us. So when I wrote it in the email, and it's on the class page, and here's the perspective. When you walk it back, being an empath is really being a fifth dimensional being. So we're shifting the idea of an empath from the third dimensional view to the fifth dimensional view. In third dimension, it's poor empath. They have no boundaries. They have their exposure is infinite to everything around them. They're vulnerable to feeling everything. And it's like the perspective is that it's just a jumble and a mess to be an empath. From the fifth dimensional perspective, when we walk this back, if you look at it from the point of view that if you have the ability to sense another as yourself. Oh, whoever's moving, stop for a moment. If you have the ability to sense another as yourself, 602.
Yeah, I'll mute.
Okay. You have the ability, I'll say it again, to sense another as yourself, to know another's thoughts and feelings, to know another's sensations in their body, to know another person as one with yourself. That is a fifth dimensional perspective. So from the fifth dimensional perspective, you are empowered with these advanced abilities that are in the sixth sense realm. They're expanded abilities that everyone has, but they're activated in you. So from one perspective, from 3D, where everyone's trying to fit into one flat little TV that's a half inch deep, the flat dimension, compared to the fifth dimension that is multidimensional and surrounded in love and expanded awareness, you walk it back. You say, okay, I have these abilities and I therefore must be a fifth dimensional being. And we're going to let this land because you're all shifting with this. Who just felt the shift of taking themselves from a third dimensional perspective to a fifth dimensional perspective?
I think I did.
Yes.
Yeah. How did that change everything? That's another way we're fracturing your reality today. How did it just change things for you?
Well, it takes you out of victimization mind, which is, I think, known. And it raises your frequency. And the reason I knew I shifted in that moment was the breath comes in when I shift deeply. my body automatically takes a deep breath.
That's a good
and
cue.
And that's not planned. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Good cue. Okay, who else felt the difference?
This is Ananda. I feel my aura expand. Just gets bigger.
Wonderful.
And wider.
Look at you. Sensing your aura. Uh-huh. Good. Okay.
I'll go. Uh-huh. We're all one. We're all interconnected.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But how do you feel about yourself?
Whole and complete.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who else?
This is Sally. Mm-hmm. When you said that, I felt like I went into my center, and then like antenna went up.
Yes. Yes.
In some little way, it was like, oh, and I was listening kind of, but not with my ears, just kind of starting to sense something.
Okay. Anyone else?
I was filled with. Go ahead. I was filled with self-love. And that propelled the antenna that was and the expansion.
Okay. Okay, and who else was going to speak?
It's Michelle. Uh-huh. It's kind of interesting because I was scribbling, and then before you said anything about the shift, I looked up. I'm like, that's interesting. Why am I looking up? And so I can't say exactly that I felt something on some level, but it was more of a, it wasn't like so conscious, but I noticed something happened. So I can't say what it was exactly.
It went straight into your body. So you just, like your body responded. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Beautiful. Got it. Just, it's like straight in without a filter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're working this whole month, the frequency that's on the planet and the light that's coming in. I'm not talking about the planetary frequency of the ordinary mind. I'm talking about the planetary frequency of the light and ascension that's coming in. It is compelling us, giving us permission, wanting us to shift into that identity, which is truly us. So there's no problem thinking of yourself as a fifth dimensional being. If you tack on, oh, I'm better than everyone else because I'm a fifth dimensional being, you kind of don't want to do that. But for yourself, for your own identity, for how you frame how you're living in this world, you should adopt that framework as your identity for being able to function in the world. Because when you take on that identity, you shift your entire consciousness from being a vulnerable empath subject to everything to someone who has abilities that may need skillful shaping and mastery, but they're there. They're awakened. And they're there to be developed. Okay. So I didn't expect this to happen so fast and so early in the class today that the shift was happening here. So let me just ask, is someone having a challenge with this? As I said the word challenge, a bird just smashed into my window.
Oh,
it was fine. It flew off, but it just like the word challenge and the bird just right into the window.
I'm not having a challenge, but there's processing happening. Like, It's really interesting, though. Yesterday, I was walking through a store, masked and all, and like it was like there was this shift that just I felt like. Well, first I was projecting onto the store. Wow, it's just the energy of the store, but it really wasn't. It was like literally, I was experiencing like I am walking on another planet right now. I'm a visitor here. But then now as you're talking like about this shift, I'm still trying to, there's still this sense of victim consciousness that my consciousness, the true me, is trying to, is practicing letting go of attachment to as an identity.
Great.
And so I've been moving in and out of that this week, big time. And so I'm just processing right now.
Yes, and that's great because it is a process of letting go of that identity. And it's good to be cognitively aware of it and appreciate the difference in it and also work energetically with it because that's where the big process is going to happen. But you do want to notice it. And be able to shift when you can. And there really is this big attachment to our old identity that we're being asked to release right now. So you have this huge invitation to think of yourself as a multidimensional light being connected to the light council and to the divine and to walk on the planet connected with Mother Earth and Father Son. Oh, who just came on? We have to mute you, the sound is too loud. Yeah, it's Lori, it's you. And so it's a big invitation and it's not even an honor. You honor yourself in that. It's not that you're being blessed, you're being recognized, you're being honored. You are being asked to be who you are. And the energy on the planet is aligned with that invitation right now.
So this is Ananda. Can I ask a question?
Sure. Uh-huh.
So if something slips in, mm-hmm. okay, through our, aura.
Right.
Is that because we are still attached to an older perspective of ourselves?
I'm going to say yes to your mind. And yes, that would be true. That would be the teaching. But if we take the teaching into reality, and this is where the gap in the teaching and how each person applies it is meaningful. So yes, there's a teaching that if we were perfectly grounded and beautifully expanded and whole in our wholeness, yes, that toxic material doesn't come in or we're able to digest the toxic material, the illusion, okay? But it's when we take a teaching and make it, and I'm not saying you do this, Ananda, this is to the whole group. It's when we take a teaching like that and make it a rigid value that we apply to ourselves, that's the illusion mind, the ordinary mind, taking a teaching and flattening it. And this is what happens a lot in the spiritual world. And I did it for years, and it's like I let my petty tyrant take that teaching and like pound myself with it. So it's true, yes. And then how you apply that teaching with love, acceptance, and patience within yourself is where the real transformational process happens. And when I say transformational process, that's where the personality gets transformed. we can have the spiritual ideal, the correct teaching in mind, and then the journey from making that spiritual teaching to an expression of our personality in our daily life is this journey that is very intimate with self, that is very moment by moment, and has a cycle, it has a process. Sometimes it's instantaneous, sometimes it has to go through a whole cycling before it's digested and brought into the personality for transformation. So I want you to hear that, yes, in the ideal world of the spiritual teachings, we would be able to process and deflect any illusion or toxic energy. But in the reality of making that teaching our reality, there's a process. Mm. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. This is Andrea. I feel like the real me versus we thing going on. And God, my nerves are just like, whoa. I feel like I'm bushy all over.
Bright-eyed and whatever bushy that tailed. Means. Bright-eyed and
yeah.
bushy-tailed. Okay.
So, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, Ananda, what would be your question after hearing that? Is there anything left there?
So, what I'm hearing is that if heavy energy does invade our boundary, uh-huh. that's not an excuse to start blaming and shaming ourselves, that we simply take this as an awareness that we need to, you know, be tuning into our basic energy and flowing along with it.
Beautifully said. And I know you've been in the spiritual world long enough to have experienced what I was talking about in terms of taking teachings and making them into this rigid value that you try to live up to, like by squeezing yourself into it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And yeah, yeah. So it's kind of the antithesis of reality, because of course there's flow and there's change. So there's no such thing as rigid boundaries. It's just there's constant change and flow.
Yes. And so how kind we are with ourselves to process the teaching so that it becomes a beautiful state within our being is where the love comes in. And you, when I say that, I could tell you guys could feel that there's so many processes in your life where things are expected to change or be done, and they're not surrounded in love.
Correct. Right.
Which is part of the pain and the reinforcement of that ordinary mind or the flattened view of reality. And believe me, I had a father who was a time efficiency expert. I grew up in the movie Cheaper by the Dozen. And so...
Sorry, I'm like Cheaper by the Dozen. I got a visual.
Do you know the movie?
No, I don't know the movie, but just the words. I was like, oh, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Right, right. Good.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's an old movie where this man had a bunch of kids and everyone had to go by the whistle. You know what I mean? Like they were, everything was timed, everything was efficient. So he would only buy things if they were a dozen. He wouldn't buy three, you know? So I had to learn that I had to be able to get out of that painful state because it was very painful and squishy, and squeezed in and walk myself out of that conditioning.
When you use the term, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
When you use the term wave, I'm reading that Nine Waves of Creation, I think that's the title.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so really getting a sense of what you're saying, you can't speed that up. You can't, if you're in one part of the day or night of the wave, you just have to, like, be, here's where the witness idea comes in for me, or just naming it to try to put distance between myself and where I, all the wishing of where I want to be, and just, you know, you're there, and so be there, and it, you'll flow with your seed wherever you are in whatever problem it is, or happiness, whatever you're feeling. It just takes its course in its own time. Can't wish it to go faster.
Right. And then there's the moments when you're riding the wave and there's that transitional moment and it feels like everything changes in an instant, but it didn't change in an instant. You had to ride the wave to get to the moment of the instant. So, but this is something that happens in the spiritual world and that you'll see all over the place. And it's all that comparing, contrasting, and forcing yourself to squeeze into a spiritual teaching when you're not really there, when you're just growing into it, and everyone's growing into it. There's no one on the planet, I don't care how enlightened you are right now, that isn't experiencing living into a new reality now. This is,
well, it is
a new frequency. Go ahead. Yeah.
It's just so seductive and safe feeling. I mean, I was raised in a very fundamentalist Christian background, and to have this grip on this is right and this is wrong, and it just, it's like it gives this false sense of, okay, you can, you know, feed your ego, you could feel safe, you could judge others, and to let go of that certainty and just leap into the unknown of riding these waves, it's scary.
It is. And let me review something here and reframe this, because you're not really expected to leap. The reason I was given the practice of taking refuge in Mother Earth was so that I'm held, I'm loved, I have a return to a ground of being that is there to support me into the shift. Okay, so this is really, really important, and this actually has to do with our last class and this class. The emphasis on finding safety within the feminine, within the Great Mother, within Mother Earth, a version of the Great Mother, a fractal of the Great Mother, is where you take refuge, where you reconnect, so that when you let go of the old identity, you reground in this well, a cauldron, heart of being, which then gives you the sense of safety so that you can grow in new directions. So you don't have Groundhog Day, like doing the same thing over and over and over, because it doesn't feel safe. And so that is what has helped me, and that's why what I teach, because it's what I know. You may have other ways of finding a ground of being within you So I want you to know the main message is you're not expected to leap without feeling safe. But in third dimensional consciousness, you're expected to do all kinds of things without feeling safe.
Right.
You snap your fingers and you're supposed to do something. And so finding this connection in the heart of the mother, in our planetary mother, in the feminine is, to me, the most luscious, generous, loving place to return to so that I can feel safety. And this is, I don't know how many different ways I can make this point, but the way you brought it to us, Ananda, provided the opportunity to make this point again.
Oh, it's so reassuring, because that image of the tarot card where the fool just steps off a cliff, you know, with the hope that something forms under his foot. I can't really do that, but to feel nurtured and supported and to know that you're held in the heart of the mother, that suddenly makes many things possible, all things possible.
Yes, and I think I may be wrong in the totality of spiritual teachings, but this is one of the ways I believe the feminine approach applies. Now, I may be attributing that taking a leap off of a edge of a cliff to the, let's call it the toxic masculine. But to me, and that may be inappropriate. I mean, the full true masculine may not have that in it. But I do know, what I do know is that the feminine has an applicable safety that can be used in everyday life to stabilize and help us feel secure. There may be many ways that the masculine can do that for us. I just am so sure about this way. because how many years now since I was 19, I was initiated in this, and I'm 69. So how many years is that? 50?
A lot.
50 years. Yeah. Okay. So that's how many years I've been proving it to myself.
Get that.
Do you?
I get that. I do. This is Kathy, and your work conditioning really has resonated with me to hopefully I can speak this with clarity. From last month's solstice and the merging of energies between Mother Earth's energy and Father Sun energy, it's the milky white golden glow of being in that fetus of safety when you're in a womb, and we've all know what that feels like from our beginning. So to be grounded and to experience now fifth dimensional, what I am experiencing as the light of my DNA expansion of Mother Earth and Father Sun now is enabling the release of being in that glow of the womb and Father Sun's nurturing to let go in safety of old patterned conditioning. And there's cleansing an enormous love beyond safety that I feel at the beginning of your presentation of our class that we're all experiencing right now. Mm-hmm. And that is the unity of the circle of our life. The original light of all of who we are. And that beauty of safety and frequency together. And so releasing the conditioning is, it just flows away. And so when it happens, that's the cliff. Mm-hmm. And you're held in this enormous ocean and light, expansion of the universe.
Thank you. I let myself sink into your speaking. Thank you. So then we have to remember that sinking into, like you said, Kathy, the feminine leads us to the balance with the masculine. So we start with the feminine, we find the safety, we find the grounding, and then our being is able to open up to that flow between the masculine and feminine, which is pure love. And we become the child of that. We become the emanation of that balance. Mm. So it's not that we stop with the feminine or the feminine is the end-all be-all. It becomes a ground upon which we can open up into that surrounding love that is the love between the masculine and feminine when it is balanced. And so when we do that and we're able to sink into that place safely, and you know what, I want to stay with the safety piece. I want to go to the place eventually where the silence speaks to us, but I still want to stay with this place with safety because I'm seeing, you know, safety is such a big issue. Even before how crazy everything is on the planet right now, safety was a big issue. It's always a big issue. And like Barbara Hanclow and people talk about the PTSD that humanity has from the last great flood and comet destruction of the planet and how we've gone through several mass extinctions as humans. There's something that's true to that and there's something that's limiting to that. Humans know that this is not the end all be all. Is being in a human body. And so when we mix what we know from our soul and let it get flattened by 3D right now through PTSD lens, we get limited to the idea that our whole life is being birthed here and ending here, and that's it. And even though you can think philosophically that you know you go beyond this, there's a part of our being that still grips onto that 3D reality. And that's what makes us feel unsafe. In truth, there have been so many more versions of humanity on the planet than they even know of yet. And there have been so many ways the planet has grown and changed over billions of years that as we proceed here, we're going to find out that there are so many different versions of beings that have inhabited this planet. And many of them are versions of ourselves at different times here. And you can be a being on this planet and be in a light body and not have to be in a physical body. You can be an orb. You could be in some other form that we can't even imagine. And we're going to be opening up to this idea that the consciousness of our being shifts and moves and does so many versions of itself. So everything that we know archaeologically, anthropology, scientifically right now is just going to be busted in the next couple of years in terms of how we think of ourselves as humans on this planet. And so along with that, we'll be releasing that PTSD as we move into the expanded version of ourselves. But safety is a very, very big issue. And I can say for myself, it was a huge issue. And until I realized that I could find my safety in Mother Earth, in this planet, in this body, I could not feel comfortable as a human being. And I know you've all had glimpses of that. And it's just a matter of practice that makes it more and more real minute by minute. But I want you to think this. I want you to realize that if you don't feel safe, don't do anything. Don't make yourself do something if you're not feeling connected, grounded, and held in a safe way in your being. And allow yourself to pause and allow yourself to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I need some time. I need some space. I need to figure out where I am with this. And see if you can avoid repeatedly being forced into a situation where you're forced to leap off the edge without feeling safe. This is very real. This is very real talk, right? Right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, it is. And so it's Fran, mm-hmm. listening first, really deeply appreciating and resonating with your articulation of the connection of deep grounding into the loving arms of Mother Earth and feeling safe to flower, emerge, become ourselves. And so, and I know those things, but my mind hadn't put them together exactly that way. So thank you. But going on, what I'm really wanting to comment on is, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with if you call it the toxic masculine of 3D, given my living. And it is just striking me now that the mantra of this culture, the 3D part of our culture, is feel the fear and do it anyway.
Right.
Forget about safety, gut it through. If you're not able to do that, you're less than. And I realize that is, I won't say it's the root of shutting down, but one cannot do that unless one is really shut down. And then, of course, the culture is so shut down, so the culture seeks solace and comfort in all sorts of dysfunctional ways. But, yeah, that is our culture. That is our mainstream culture. That's who the heroes are.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And so it takes a lot of courage and a lot of practice so that you find that place within you And then the second step, once you know, and everyone here knows how to ground and find that place, the second step is putting it into practice in your life, in your decisions, and the way people pressure or manipulate your world. Well, this just got really real. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most certainly so.
And this is good. I mean, this is where we want the change to occur. And those of you who've been around me know, and you've seen me stop an interaction so that I can ground and make sure I'm in the place I need to be. I know you're all offended by it when I do it, but that's an example of me doing it.
Perhaps used to be offended. Now we might emulate you. Actually,
it's very good modeling. It's good modeling for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you can, and it's interesting because empathically, I'm, you know, easily loving someone, wanting to join with them, wanting to smooth things out, wanting everything to be all love and in harmony and beauty. But if I've lost my safety, then all that goes down the drain. I'll regret it later.
What exactly do you regret?
I'm sorry, Kim, what did you say? Was that Kim?
Sorry, it's Lisa. I'm asking, what exactly do you regret when you regret it later?
Like that I wasn't in integrity.
And my question is, you lose integrity because you're not in alignment with yourself and fully grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And fully grounded and means feeling safe.
Mm-hmm. I find that a lot of what is going on, at least for me right now, is actually an alignment of my spiritual body, my mental body, and my emotional body in the physical, in terms of trying to align my understanding on all these levels.
Mm-hmm.
To recognize the fullness of what integrity is.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yes.
I've seen so often in my spiritual training this emphasis on, you know, on flowering, on manifesting love, harmony, and beauty. And it's always been puzzling to me why it was so ephemeral. So part of what I'm feeling out here is, yeah, if it's not deeply grounded and coming from a place of safety and security, it's hard to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
Flickers.
Yes. Yes. And I hated that it was just flickers. I wanted it all the time.
Can you do Zikr 24/7?
It is going on in me 24/7. It has been since I was 23. But yes, this is very doable. This is when your default consciousness drops downward instead of going upward, then you will start to feel safe. And that's a body feeling that you can use. And that's why I always say, remember seat and feet. You can use that feeling, but noticing when you start going down instead of out and up, you will start feeling safe because you'll know that your consciousness knows where to go to find safety.
That is a very powerful statement. And to feel that and to be in that and have that response for me makes me feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the constant for myself, the returning and the remembering is, and it's a practice, and even all these years it continues to be so for me.
It'll continue to be a practice because the world is getting more ungrounded. It's almost like an earthquake every day.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
It is like an earthquake. It's everything is crumbling. And that's why finding this inner place of safety is so important. Now, in other spiritual language, it probably would be spoken about is in terms of the root chakra and Mother Kundalini. And the reason I'm taking it into the realm of Mother Earth is that it brings it into the body, into daily life, into our walking, talking, more palpably, maybe more relatably. Because if you can feel your feet connected to the earth, that is your moment of truth. Because the reality is, we are connected, even if you take it from the point of view of gravity. If you pretend walking around that you're not connected with gravity, if you forget that gravity exists, you've gone into a world of untruth. When you reconnect and remember that you're here on this earth and there's this energy flowing back and forth and you're part of the natural cycle of this planet, you've returned to truth. And then the rest of you starts lining up with truth. And unfortunately, it's very scary to align with truth when everyone's trying to convince you of something else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in terms of that safety, this conversation, I've walked myself out of the rafters. Really up there.
Well, you just unrooted yourself, Rana, totally. You have to go through a whole process of rerooting in Phoenix and shifting all your frequencies with the earth there and the light and everything. So you are going through a big process.
Mm-hmm. Last class you talked about, and you joke, but I always look at how things come through when someone's joking too. Mm-hmm. You laughed and you said, "I'll kick you right out. I'll kick you across the planet," or something like that. So I don't want to be like, I've been really, I keep coming back to the teaching and practice. This is, I'm allowing them to have their own perspective so I can have mine.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a deeper teaching of this kicking someone out that I laugh? Okay, yeah. I mean, is there a way to kick someone out in a nice, loving way? But like, if they keep coming back and keep merging and it's like a meshing and it's like so uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah. So hold on one second. I'm going to reground so that this all comes through coherently. Okay. So there, the equivalent of the kicking is grounding so deeply that you say from your being, you are not allowed to take up any space in my being. Return to your being. And if you don't want to return to your being, go wherever you want to go, but get out of here. Because I'm fully inhabiting my being right now. So you can hear me. It's a very strong statement from within me. It's not a judgment. It's not angry, but it is powerful. And then you have to take up your own space. Was
Sarah,
that,
I know.
I just want to check with Rana. That was that helpful?
Okay.
Yeah, it was very affirming. I've actually felt intuitively that that's what I've been doing. And then this past week, just literally feeling so uprooted and keeping trying to ground, I think I went back up into like a PTSD up in the rafters place. And then when I'm feeling someone else's stuff, like that old habit of whoa, like the going into the recesses, the farthest recesses that I could possibly, you know, to hide, because it was just feeling too much, knowing that that was just like a really old, you know, like child, you know, pattern. That anyhow, but yes, embodying, I'm taking up, like, this is my home.
Right. But I mean, look at you. I mean, your family's in one place and part of your family's with you there. You're changing jobs. You change locations. I mean, give yourself a little space here because this was a huge, huge move.
Yeah.
Just changing jobs is a gigantic move. Just moving is a job. Moving where your family's in two different places, going to be three different places as your daughter goes to college. That's huge. So you've got like this constellation of gigantic change going on for you right now. And you're going to have to give yourself some kindness and patience here because it's huge. Okay. That's a lot.
Okay.
Okay. Who asked the next question? What was that?
Oh, this is Kathy. I was just going to say that when, you and I have had discussion and you have stopped me, it so that you can ground and be in the integrity of who you are. And in the moment of your voice of truth, it has made me grow to be integral in my truth when I'm ungrounded. And it's a process that I've learned to honor, that I feel differently when I'm speaking or have spoken. And when you have helped me to see the truth of integrity of being able to speak and feel that within me. So I honored that when anybody can stop me to make me come back to me.
You know, thank you. And my teacher died in 1990. So what? It's 30 years. And the thing I miss about him the most, even though he terrified me most of the time, was that he was the wall that I would bump into to come back to truth.
Mm-hmm.
And once he passed, I didn't have that. And I miss it so much because it's so helpful and also terrifying. But thank you. I appreciate your openness to the experience of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a moment to reground and settle in again. The other point I wanted to address here, which is the idea of how valuable this circle is. Our little class here is very, very powerful, and we can be a huge support to each other. And it doesn't take a lot to do that. When we get back out into the world, away from the class, we go back to this idea that we're an individual pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and it's all on us. But if you recognize the power of the Sangha, which is one way of saying it in the spiritual terms, the way we can have this background pillow of support, if each person takes that seriously. And Deborah's and I think it was Fran's comments about holding the group in light. Remember I said to you at the very beginning of asking you to do this that by doing this, you end up with so many gifts that you don't imagine, you can't imagine. And Deborah wrote it so beautifully on the page when she said that she starts out holding the group in light, but then she ends up in a place where she is just pure light, and she and the group have disappeared, and she's in a state of illumination, but the group is still in that state with her, even though they're not delineated in it. And so she feels like she's receiving this huge blessing and illumination. And at the same time, the whole group is too. But there's no you and me, no group and me. And there's this pure state of illumination that becomes this background light for each of us. And so if you even minimally just have your little light list where you put everything on a list and Reiki it or look at it in light and put the group on that list along with everything else that you need, that's a wonderful way of doing it. And then when you have the opportunity to go into a deep meditation and move into, shift into a deep light state, you're holding the group in that state too. And it raises the level of coherence for the whole group. It raises a level of coherence for everyone in the group. And this is an old spiritual idea that is good to bring back, because it was recognized that when you practice with a group, that the practice gets more powerful and that you're somehow held by the greater consciousness of the group. And that's a very important idea, because that's another one of those 3D ideas that we have to get over, that we're doing everything ourselves. and that we have this group, and you may have other groups. That can support you. But even when Tracy and Nick and I were working on a problem with the website, I asked them both, I said, can you both hold this in light with me so that we can move this through smoothly? I'm having a problem here. Can you guys help me? And they did. It just took a little second, but if you can do that and ask for help to the appropriate people, not people that wouldn't understand. But even people who are in prayer groups and churches and all that kind of stuff, you can ask for that kind of help. But this particular group is being held and carried along in this year in a stream of higher consciousness that is bringing everyone along, igniting us all, opening us each in our own individual place. And we are held by the higher consciousness of our higher beings and the teachings of light that are flooding into the planet. And so I want to implore you to hold the group in light, because you are part of the group. And that's the ostrich thing. I don't want you to ignore this group the other 30 days that we're not together. Realize that you are in a group that is ascending, expanding, nurturing you, and participate in feeding it so that we all benefit. Any comments on that?
This is Kim. The image that I got when I'm feeling more 3D and singular is that in an effort to try to make a change or to connect, there's a push or a pull, that there's efforting versus the ability to align with the group and literally step into the flow and then allow myself to float with the flow, and it's effortless.
Mm. Beautiful.
Is there just one sacred circle? I'm asking because there's different classes and there's different groups that I belong to that I feel deeply attuned to.
Mm-hmm. There can be many sacred circles, and they can each have a little bit different attunement and wake up something different in you. So they can have like a different chord that resonates with your being. And that is like the benefit of that group. So yes, you can have many. This one in particular is really about shifting your belief about your empathic sensitivities into telepathic abilities and living into your full expression of the consciousness that comes from this fifth dimensional reality. And it's very transformative for your personality, so that you could finally become happy here on Earth. So our switch is leaving, and you can feel the difference from back in February, like how you felt more like victim empaths and how you're starting to feel more empowered now.
And, yes.
And this month in particular, the identity shift is going to be very strong. It's really what's coming through in the planet now. And it feels like the rest of the year is just going to be getting stronger and stronger in this new identity. And it's also about finding your inner connection to source so that you are sovereign within all dimensions. And like I say, most spiritual teachings come down to that. But if you're in different circles, they'll have a slightly different frequency and it'll help awaken different aspects of you. You'll resonate with those frequencies and they'll be helpful.
Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
How many different aspects of us are there? Seriously, like, what are we looking at?
Let's see. So if we look at it as fractals or a continuum of dimensional consciousness, there can be many, many versions of us. And I think quantum and string theory are trying to get at that. Ultimately, the realization that, and I'm going to say it in the personal, that I am source or I am divine is the path of spirituality that everyone's on, no matter what dimension you're on. But then that doesn't even stop there. Once you understand that about yourself, that opens up whole different worlds. So yes, we have our 3D aspect of ourselves, and we have our 5D where we're more telepathic and more opening up the psychic abilities. And then we're on one dimension, we're all orbs. On another dimension, we're all geometry. On another dimension, we're sound. On another dimension, we're light. And so it can go on and on and on. And then you jump dimensions. So you jump off of this particular line of consciousness, and you can jump into other dimensions of consciousness that all have their own different fractals of that. So it can be pretty infinite. It can include being an alien being. It could include being living on a different star or different planet. All of that are aspects of our being. It could be living in different time frames all at the same time. So it gets pretty complicated. And I do believe that the one of the main things besides realizing that you are God or source is being able to connect with what's behind all these versions of ourself. That there is some kind of intelligence that is beyond words, beyond frequency, beyond everything that we know through our mind, and that there's another background source that we want to get in touch with. So it's pretty complicated if you look at it that way, but it can also be fun. Jumping dimensions, jumping timelines, things like that. That's all going to really come into play in the next 100 years. Is that helpful, Michelle?
Yeah, it is helpful. It's a lot to consider, but then when you look at, you know, regular people living life, trying to move through their situations and make choices that feel better to them, I mean, is it possible that someone is very evolved and has a very high vibration, but they didn't come at it? They're not necessarily psychic or consciously aware in that way, but they're holding it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I think that they are here. They just, their road is not the same. They're not experiencing it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Very much so. I'm very energy oriented and work with, a lot with energy, but it doesn't have to be worked with that way. People just know things. You just have a knowing, and that's all you need.
Right. But in order to truly evolve and become more of who you are, you do need to have that consciousness activated in some way, I would imagine.
Which consciousness?
Well, the wherewithal over who you are, how you're behaving, what you put into the world, how mm-hmm. you put that into the world, like the lens of how you step forward. I don't know.
It's interesting. It's actually beyond that. Because if you take the example of the dervishes, who were beings that were beyond all convention, and they were just like so connected that all they were frequency generators, and they were not aware of necessarily how they were impacting people on a 3D level. You can have all that. Like, I say the example of working with the Alzheimer's patients in the last class?
No.
Oh, this is a perfect example of that. My friend, who was a nun, was a vice president of Alzheimer's unit, a hospital. And she was very spiritual, into Reiki, and she would take 6 of the very most extreme Alzheimer's patients, the ones that were in very rigid physical condition, had no physical consciousness of our world, and they were kind of strapped into these wheelchairs that held their arms and bodies safely, you know, but they never moved, they didn't do anything, they were very, very far gone. And so she would gather like 6 of them, and they would be brought into this room, and there was a PT table that was a big mattress kind of thing that they did PT on. And she would say, let's have Helen be the receiver of healing today. And so the people that brought in Helen would unstrap her from the chair. Literally, these people were so rigid in their physicality that they were just, the chairs could reconfigure to hold their arms and legs in different positions. And they would carry Helen and put her on my friend's lap on this big mattress table. And she would hold her like a baby in her arms. And then she would say to the group, let's all do healing for Helen today. Now, she had me come several times to watch what was happening in this healing ceremony that she was doing. And when she would invite the healing to happen, there would be lights coming on in the consciousness of all the people that looked unconscious to us. An incredible, powerful healing was brought into the room. Each one of them was activated. Their consciousness was way beyond their body. They could hear, understand everything that was going on, and they could activate this healing. And then my friend would be holding the one patient and she'd stroke her gently and you'd see her body soften and her breathing starting to deepen. Now, it did not create a full healing at all, but the consciousness of everyone in the room was so elevated and on such a different plane. It taught me such a big lesson about how many different planes our consciousness can be on and operating on. And that, yes, the end all be all of our being in a physical body is not what we think. So yes, you can have humans, animals, everyone that look or don't relate what we would call normally, and they can have extremely expanded consciousness and may not be aware even of what their consciousness is doing, but they are here to be a radiator of a certain frequency. So it's a little different than we think. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. It was quite an honor to be involved in that experiment and watch what was going on there. In fact, we're surrounded by that consciousness now. So yes, you can be totally unconscious of this very high frequency that you're carrying, not even know it, but it's having an effect in the world and on other planes.
So whenever the word wholeness comes in to me, that takes a much broader scope. The term wholeness from what you've said. So holding the group, the circle in light, or like if I go outside and sit on my swing and just look at the trees, and then it'll just prompt me to think of the group and sending, you know, light or the illumination or wholeness or all those energies to the group spontaneously. I mean, so the question is, the word wholeness then, because of all these different levels of consciousness, takes on an entirely different meaning to me. Is that a valid statement? I mean, as far as wholeness being somewhat synonymous to the collective consciousnesses that we exhibit, say, in 5D or beyond. Because the word wholeness keeps coming in. Mm-hmm.
You know when you feel whole.
Yes.
That's all you need. Okay, we're ready to go into our sacred circle. So return to your physical consciousness, to your awareness of your surroundings, your body, your energy, your feet and seat. And we're going to leave the world of words behind, ultimately, here. And I will mute us. And allow yourself to enjoy yourself right now. Smile. Feel the energy in your seat flowing through your hands, your heart. greet the spirit of the land where you are. Greet the nature spirits. I'm noticing a lot of animal spirit energy here today too, so let's specifically greet the animals, the spirit of the animals here on the earth. Greet the spirit of the water. Greet the spirit of the fire. Greet the spirit of the air. And greet the spirit of the ether, the fullness of all life. So when we greet the spirit of the ether, the old idea of the vacuum is null and void. That is no longer what science believes. They actually know that the ether is a fullness, not a vacuum. And it's a living, pulsating membrane of dimension of fullness. Of all vitality, of all intelligence, of all wisdom, of all compassion. It's like jumping into the ocean of beauty. Allow yourself to shift into feeling as we greet the directions, the spirit of the east, of the south, of the west, of the north, above and below, and the love that surrounds us all. Allow the coherence of the geometry of the directions, the crystalline geometry come into coherence, balance, order. Take a moment to let your being reorganize. Let the energy in the belly and the root chakra, that whole lower part of your being, reorganize into coherence. Let the diaphragm relax so that the breath is deeper. Feel the angel bones in the back and the ribs starting to flow with energy. Allow your mind to soften and turn into a stream of light. Let all those words, all those thoughts, all the feelings, all the sensations drop into the energy behind them, allowing them to flow and find their order. Let them become organized in your being, in a flow through all the subtle channels, through all the subtle channels, through the cellular aspect of the being. Let those find harmony together, those two different levels of physicality. Allow yourself to sink into the silence of the flow. As you feel the energy in your feet and your hands, just allow the sensation to captivate you, to enchant you into the more subtle realm. And the energy can start out kind of sticky, icky, heavy, dark, but as it flows, it begins to process, refine, and clear. So don't judge where the energy is. Don't run away from it. Don't be afraid of it. Trust in the ability of your being to process and digest food, thoughts, emotions, sensations, and energy. We're really a recycling being. Your body knows how to turn food into ATP energy. Take something heavy and makes it into energy, and you can take all these heavy thoughts and feelings and scattered concepts and allow them to join the flow, be reunited and reinformed of their natural organization within your being, properly aligned with the flow and recycling nature. You are a free energy being, constantly creating energy. And then when we add the energy from Mother Earth, we vitalize that system that is our body, our cellular, and we give it a boost. And let's settle into the feeling sensation of the vital energy getting stronger and boosting our frequency. We'll sit silently for a few moments as the energy goes through its cleansing process. When we have enough good energy circulating through our system, our thoughts get quieter, our emotions balance out, our body feels better, and it is a function of high quality energy. You can't really mentally get your thoughts to organize themselves. They need to be organized and infused with higher frequency energy to find their natural organized structure. And they get quieter and quieter because thoughts are really like bubbles on the surface of the ocean. They're not really the ocean. Same with feelings. And now we're being taken into the deeper state. Feel your roots in the earth, how they're spread out. Maybe you can sense or feel the love of Mother Earth or her bright, beautiful being. And we are getting connected now to the ground of our being. If there are any thoughts or feelings, return to your feet and your seat. Invite your tailbone and lower back to soften and release. That whole pelvic area needs to soften and align. And it's not about holding yourself up stiffly. It's about allowing the energy to align your body. And as I mentioned to someone this week, you cannot think clearly if your pelvis is tight and misaligned. Now we are receiving an attunement, a very powerful download of light. Has no content. Don't try to see it, think it, feel it. Just relax into a comfortable state. Going through another layer of clearing, of removing the film that collects each day from the illusion, craziness, ungrounded thinking. Relax and allow. if your mind tries to jump in there, just go back down to your seat and feet. So we remove layers and layers of non-true being to get to true being. And when we quiet down and settle into the safe place with our connection with the mother, the greater intelligence will just naturally clear and order us in alignment with our higher being. And it's not to some being that we can't see. You are being oriented and realigned with your higher being. This is energy coming from below and above to improve the quality of your connection with your higher being and with your life. If your third eye is activating, allow it to spread out all the way around your head, like if you're wearing a headband around your head, like the stretchy kind that goes around. And let the third eye beam go out infinitely if it's coming out, or experience it as an infinity sign horizontally in your third eye area and your forehead. You can have a lot of different dimensions with this third eye. Bring it in into an inner experience now. And you may experience the chakra, the colors. Let the energy of the third eye circulate through your whole being, through all the subtle circuits. Expands to encompass the throat chakra, the heart chakra, navel chakra, second chakra, the sacrum and pubic bone, root chakra, and forms a fountain of light out through the crown, aligning with your central axis, but also very expansive. Going to go through another clearing. If you're trying to see something with your third eye, don't do that. We see with our whole being. What you see with your third eye can very often be a projection or filter of all the discombobulated thoughts and impressions you have. If you get scared by what you see, reground, expand, and bring in the light and allow whatever you're seeing to return to the light. These are really just impressions that have been gathered from TV, books, culture, everything. And if there's too much pressure in your forehead, go back down to your seat. Balance it all out into a greater flow from the earth to the sun and back. Start to rest in it's a stillness and it's a flow. The more coherent your flow becomes, the more still your being becomes. And when the coherence and the stillness come together, you go through a portal into a greater consciousness. Another cleansing is happening. Back down to the seat. Too much upper head energy. When you feel that pressure in your head and all that energy, you're not going to get the full picture. It's got to balance through the whole system. You have to come into coherence and that still point before wisdom speaks to you. And trust the fullness, the coherence, the sphere-like nature of your consciousness. Instead of jumping into the third eye, into the mind. Trust the silent, deeper place state. Don't look for answers. Don't ask questions. Get used to this state first. Going through another cleansing. This is allowing more of you to come alive, more of your consciousness. We received what we needed to receive, which is a infusion of pure light that will continue to break up the areas that have become rigid in our psyche. And the light's really starting to fill the group now. And this is an example of the wholeness of the light rather than the third eye. You're knowing this light through the wholeness of your being, where all the chakras, all the meridians are balanced. So the mind is not going, how do I fix this? How do I fix this in my life? How do I change this? How do I try to manipulate this? That's quieted, and you're experiencing the light intelligence of your being as a whole experience. And that will filter down into insight, intuition, intelligence. But you can't start with the limited and impose it on the great sphere of light, or else you'll never get to that greater state of consciousness. So we're letting go of what the mind thinks it wants in favor of experiencing the greater consciousness, and then knowing that that light, that intelligence will filter down to where we need it, creating healing, opening, insight, intuition, resolution. We are going over a little bit past 12:30, so we're still in a little bit of a state of expansion that's continuing here. Receive the final transmission and infusion of light. This opens you to your consciousness. We're being held in the greater consciousness of the group and Mother Earth and Father Sun. And so you're never just alone. You're never just you. You're always enveloped and encompassed in a greater heart, a greater love, greater coherence. And there really is this incredible love that is the source of all. And as empaths, you want to identify this as a state of consciousness and direct your energy there instead of horizontally or reaching out. You want to establish yourself in this sphere of love for your own safety, for your own awareness, and the byproduct of it will be helpful to everyone, but you don't aim it or project it, you be it. So we're coming to the end here. I'm going to leave us on mute here while I just say a few things. We have the sacred ceremony for releasing shame class coming up in 2 weeks. And if you have someone, refer someone to the class, you can take it for free. It's going to be quite a ceremony over 4 weeks. Anyone can take it. You don't have to be exposed to these teachings. As long as you want to release shame, you can. You don't even have to be an empath. And then because we canceled the in-person retreat, we have the Pure Awareness Retreat. That's a 3-day retreat that's going to take us more into the state of consciousness that we're working with today. And that's going to be 3 days, I think August 21st, 22nd, 23rd, that we will do over Zoom. And so those offerings are now on the new website. And if you have nothing better to do, this is something good to do. And clearing out 3 days so that you could really focus on this, the schedule would be something like 2.5 hours in the morning, 2-hour break for lunch and rest, and then another 2.5 hours in the afternoon, and then another 2 hours in the evening. And I'm trying to work out the time so that people on the West Coast won't have to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do it. And so it'll be 3 days of that. Some of it will be audio Zoom. Some of it will actually meet on video Zoom and see each other. So that's all on the books, ready to go. And there's the podcast. I actually have instructions on how to rate and review the podcast on the podcast link now. It's really hard to do. But listen to the podcasts because they're really helpful. And I think that's it. I'm going to take us off of mute now, if I can figure out how to do it again. And we'll come back to say goodbye or to answer any questions. And for some reason, there we go. Boy, they changed the Zoom. Okay. So can I hear someone's voice to make sure we're back?
We're back.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Thank you. They changed this on me. Okay.
We're all back.
Okay, good.
Even if we don't want to be.
Well, you don't have to come back. Just gently stay expanded and enjoy it. Let it impress upon your being even more. And that's fine. Any questions or comments at this point?
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Okay, as always, give me some comments on that page. Okay, blessings to all of you, and have a beautiful month.